greetings, everybody. Thanks for inviting me into your home. Hey, I like what you've done with the place. Is that new furniture? Hey, are those dishes dirty over there? All right. No, thanks. I want to commend you for investing in your spiritual health by having me here. It really is important for you. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Don't neglect your spiritual health. It's good to get exercise. It's good to get out, go for a walk, do some things, finish projects around the house. But don't neglect your spiritual health. It's so important. Got to keep the, David spoke to himself, encouraged himself with the truth of God's word. And especially times like this, it's good to speak to yourself. And one other thing, I want to just give you a word of advice now that you're home a lot with kids and so on. One of the best pieces of advice I could give you to build godliness into your family is to turn off the TV or monitors and make the evening family meal a priority in your home as if your life depends on it. Now, Joan and I did that throughout our childbearing years and little kids growing up. Of course, when they're teenagers, it's different. They have part-time jobs and different things. But I can't prove it, but I think a key factor for all five of our kids loving Jesus, marrying people that love Jesus, and together raising their children to love Jesus, I think in large part is due to making the evening family meal, a family time, a priority. So it's a time when the favor of God is on parents to train up their children in the way they should go and impress these things, impress truths on your children. And that is a perfect daily time to do that. So I just say, go for it. I just would encourage you to make that a priority. So announcement I want to make after this afternoon, we are going to do the Share the Good News event. It's the vehicle parade. It's the caravan that we're going to do that we got snowed out on last Sunday. We're going to meet here at the church. I'm at the church. We're going to meet here, and we're going to meet in the parking lot. You can stay in your vehicles, and a lot of you know all this already, but decorate your vehicles. We're going to do a little mini parade. We're going to go drive around town, occasionally honking our horns, but going very light on that, and just saying that Jesus is alive. It's a week later, but we're still celebrating that Jesus is alive. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. That was a good one. All right. So that's my announcement. My projection of when I anticipate us starting up again as a church, I'm going to go with the Governor Waltz's recommendations. We're looking at early May. The idea is to go to early May. And I feel we'll be at a place where if you feel comfortable enough, when we open the doors to come, if you're not comfortable, don't come until you feel comfortable. We're going to have some, we're going to still use some precautions and so on. Open up the loft. We'll open the loft and we'll have people just spread out a little more than normal. But my desire is to get back together as soon as possible, of course. I think we're all there. And we'll keep you posted as we go. All right. So, okay, here we go. Here we go. Last week we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive. You can get an amen. Cricket. No, amen. Yes. Thank you. Raise your hand if you're grateful. Raise your hand if you're grateful. I see that hand and I see that hand. I see that hand. It's good. Hold them high. So the resurrection of Jesus is the most world-changing event in human history. And I say that every year because it still blows me away. It's still amazing to know that you and I are part of something so big that's going to outlast this earth. It just baffles me that God invited me into his kingdom, but he did. And before we stopped meeting together, we were doing a series. If you remember, it was a month ago, 5 weeks ago. Solid Food for the Mature. We're going through the main ingredients of Christianity, as the Apostle Paul mentioned in the book of Hebrews. 6, verses 1 and 2, he talks about the foundational teachings of repentance from dead works and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, and then after that is the resurrection of the dead, which we are doing. The plan was to tie it into Resurrection Sunday, which we did last week, but this is such a huge subject and it's such an awesome subject and such a all-encompassing, so much hinges on Jesus being risen from the dead that I wanted to go over it again. And Tony, of course, did a great job speaking on it last week, but I want to keep it going and emphasize some things. And I want to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. And again, I always encourage you to bring your Bibles. Bring your Bibles like you would bring them to church. Bring them to your living room like you would bring them to church. And open your Bibles and read along with me. We won't always have it on the screen. I thought about holding up some paper right here, but no, we won't have it on the screen every time. Sometimes we will. But I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3. It says, Paul writing, it says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." Everybody say, first importance. I can't hear you. Say it louder. First importance. I still can't hear you. Say it. First importance. Okay, sorry. Sorry, parents. For those of you who have kids who are screaming, first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 people, and it goes on. But of first importance, Jesus dies for our sins. He died for our sins. He was buried and raised from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures. He's alive. Amen. Let's just open in prayer. Let's just pray together. Father, thank you for this truth that is life-changing, that is radical, that is unprecedented, that is world-changing good news. God, help us to see what it means for our lives right now. Lord, the significance of it that you intended for us to understand. Lord, open our eyes and just refresh us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God the Father's seal of approval for so many reasons that I'll talk about today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ made two declarations and one demonstration. Two declarations and one demonstration is what I want to look at now. So the first one, his resurrection declared God the Father's validation of Jesus' claim to be the Son of God. All right? The Father raised his Son from the dead. It was a huge, "I told you so," world. I'm sure God didn't say it in quite that immature way that I just did, but it was a loud and clear, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just like he said. Amen. I was traveling, I don't know, within the last few years, two or three years, and I was reading my Bible, and I was at the aisle seat, and across the aisle from me was an older gentleman, older because they say he was older than me, and he started a conversation with me after a while, and turns out he was some kind of big executive with the regional executive of some sort with the Jehovah's Witness organization, which don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They teach against that. He started politely enough and went on to, though, try to persuade me and convince me that Jesus is not the Son of God, which I responded politely, of course, back in disagreement and gave a few scriptural reasons why I disagree with his opinion. But again, he was older than me. He was polite. I was polite. We didn't. I wish I could say it was this epic event that he just fell to his knees right there in the plane and for the first time believed Jesus is the Son of God, but he didn't. But it certainly got me thinking, and I encourage you every time you can to try to share your faith wherever you go, because whether that individual person is impacted by it or not, you will be impacted by it, and you will firm up your faith you will grow in your convictions of what you believe. Amen. So always be ready to share your faith and be looking for places to share. Because it got me thinking later, it's like, man, if Jesus wasn't the incarnate God-man, if he was not the Son of God, if he was not miraculously the God-man born of a virgin but conceived of the Holy Spirit, if he was just another guy crucified by the Romans, then we've got nothing. And it's like Tony, you know, wonderfully went over last week, that would make our preaching useless, our faith is useless, we're still in our sin, and we have no hope for a personal future resurrection of ourselves that is promised by God. So, if he's not the Son of God, and he died, and was resurrected, or wasn't resurrected, we got nothing. We got nothing. It's all hinges on that. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, part of it, and says, "And who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power," say declared with power, "to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." Declared with power by his resurrection to be the Son of God. The New Living Translation reads, "And he was shown to be," he was shown so the world could see, "he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, two different people groups came into play here, and they'll always come into play. The Pharisees, the religious community, the teachers of the law, and they were the highest religious authority and the highest secular authority, Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, the governor of the region, both had the opinion that Jesus is just another man. They both proclaimed that Jesus was just a man. Maybe a miracle worker, maybe a good man, maybe a king even, but he was just a man. But through the resurrection, God showed the world that Jesus Christ is the Son of God by his resurrection. So, you know, the religious community, whether that's the Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever denomination or whatever person from whatever, maybe even the River Church, will have an opinion. And the secular world of people around you that are non-religious will all have an opinion of who Jesus is or who they think he is, and they will have an opinion of who you are. But the opinion that matters the most is the opinion of God the Father. It is his opinion about who you are that matters the most, just like it's his opinion about who Jesus is that mattered the most. The opinion that matters most is God the Father, because he says, whoever believes in Jesus and receives him into their heart, whoever confesses them as Lord and believes that God raised him from the dead, talks about in many, many, many ways, many passages, many examples, it says, whoever has believed and received, to them they've been given the right to become a child of God. So if you have believed on Jesus and received Jesus, you've been given the right to become a child of God. It doesn't matter what the religious community says, doesn't matter what the secular community says, doesn't matter what authorities say. The authority that matters is God your Father. And take that to heart. Take it to heart. As the Father endorsed Jesus at his water baptism, it says, "This is my Son in whom I love, and in him I am well pleased." I want you to take to heart that those are the same words that God speaks over you as his child, as his son or daughter, that he is pleased with you, he loves you, and is pleased with you. And you can take that to heart. And that's part of the story of the declaration of God over the resurrected Christ. So number two leads me to, I mean, God loves you so much that he gave his son for you to have a way to have your sins forgiven. I mean, that's how much God loves you. That's how much he loves us, loves me. So much that he gave his one and only son to be crucified, to be buried, to die, and be raised from the dead so that our sins could be forgiven and we could have a relationship with him, which is number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ declared God the Father's approval of Jesus' death as payment for all sin. Amen. By his resurrection, God the Father was saying, yes, that sacrifice of your blood shed for the sins of the world, I accept that, and I endorse that by raising you from the dead. Romans 4:25 in the New Living Translation says, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. So he was handed over because of us, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. The payment has to be equal to what's being purchased. One of my favorite restaurants in town, Mizuki Fusion. Yay! Mizuki Fusion is one of my favorites. It reopened this week, and I finally was able to get through. They're a busy place. I was able to get through today for lunch, and they have a new front door system. So what they do, they took the glass door right off, and they have it. It's boarded up and built into the board are slots and plexiglass and another box sticking out from that wooden door where the food would be in. And it's quite the contraption. You have to call ahead and then you prepay, although I guess you could bring cash there, but you give your credit card information because the payment has to be equal to what's being purchased. Okay, the payment has to be equal to what is being purchased. So you prepay, you go there, they hand the receipt out the slot, got to sign off, sign, endorse, I'm endorsing this payment, and then you put it back, and like magic, food appears in this box, and I get to open the tomb and set the sushi free. Get to take it out of there. Once it's paid for, it goes free. You get to open that box. There it is. It shows up. I get to take that food out of there. Sin makes you wrong with God. Sin pushes us far away from God and brings death. It brings death spiritually. It brings death physically. But Jesus, the Son of God, who never sinned, was handed over to die in our place. He was killed and buried in a tomb, but his life is equal in value. His life, the life of the Son of God, is equal in value to the sins of the whole world. His life was the payment, specifically his life's blood. His blood was the payment. His life equally values the sins of the world. And the Father endorsed his life, his sacrifice. And the tomb opened and he was raised from the dead. But his blood was the payment. What can wash away my sin? Some believe going to church, giving money, being good, helping others. But no, we know that's not true. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, the Bible says the life is in the blood. Now, the blood of animals covered sins for a while. Annually had to be done, sacrificed over and over. But the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, took away our sins for good, takes them away, doesn't just cover them, doesn't temporarily cover them, it takes our sins away for good. His resurrection proved his sacrifice was accepted by God. So that tomb opened up and he is free to go. Okay, so The Father raised the Son because his blood paid the price. And for us, our faith in his blood brings us near to God the Father. As Jesus was brought near because of his blood, brought back to the Father, his blood, our faith in his shed blood brings us near to God our Father. Don't let feelings or circumstances tell you that God is far away from you. Don't listen to those thoughts, those feelings, those lies in your head that maybe say, tell you that God doesn't care or his blood wasn't enough. I want to remind you that it is enough, that it is all that was needed. It is finished, was said. And that was the phrase that Jesus declared for us once and for all. What separated us from the Father has been taken away. And that sin that separates has been taken away, washed clean, and we are brought near by the blood of Jesus. Amen. You've been brought near by God, by his resurrection. He endorsed it. So that was two declarations, now one demonstration. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the demonstration of what every believer hopes for. His resurrection demonstrates what we all are longing for, what we've all been promised, and that is we will rise from the dead as well. Jesus overcame every one of our enemies, and we know the last and the greatest, the Bible declares, is death. And there's so many benefits. There's so many benefits that we receive because of what Jesus did. We have forgiveness. We have peace with God. We're brought near to him. We have physical healing, spiritual life. We have emotional healing. We have natural provision, gifts. There's so many benefits in this life and eternal life to come. But one of the greatest gifts to us that Jesus' resurrection demonstrated is that we too will rise from the dead. That's awesome. We'll be given glorified new bodies, physical bodies that'll be immune to viruses, immune to sickness and heartache, immune to sin and death. All right, Philippians 3, 10 through 12 says, book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. We press on. We have hope in eternal life and resurrection life. Physical, bodily resurrection life. We're not going to be endlessly strumming harps on clouds of etherealness. We're going to be living in a form that is better than anything we've experienced, including what we've experienced. This and more, without sickness, without disease, without sin, without heartache, without problems, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's made available to us because he rose from the dead. Jesus did it, and he says, follow me, follow me. We will rise from the dead. And that's something worth looking forward to. I hope you ponder that and meditate on that regularly, that whatever you see, however bad it gets, it's temporary. And there is so much better coming. And no matter how good it gets here, and we've had some pretty good experiences, had some pretty bad experiences, we've had some really great experiences, it's going to get even better than any of the best of this life. Amen. His resurrection declares he's the Son of God, that his death paid for our sins. If we believe it and receive him, you have to put your faith in him. It's not that everyone goes to heaven when they die. You have to put your faith. You have to choose. Say, Lord, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you were buried, and you rose from the dead to pay for my sin. Now I give you my life. I ask you to be Lord. You have to receive him. You have to believe him and receive him. And his resurrection demonstrates what we have to look forward to. That as he rose bodily, and again, in bodily form, he ate food. Remember, he appeared, walked through the door, appeared to his disciples, but yet he said, "You got any food around here? Got any fish?" And they gave him some fish to eat, and it was just amazing. So physical bodies. So I'm going to close with this. Now raise your hand if you're tired of hearing about the coronavirus. All right, I see that hand. Higher, raise them higher. The danger of the virus is it starves the body of oxygen. I just want to talk about it a little bit here. The virus starves the body of oxygen. Oxygen is carried to the parts of the body by the blood. That's the main job of blood. It carries oxygen that comes in the lungs, and the blood takes that oxygen in its chemical form, brings it to the different parts of the body. Remember, the Bible says the life is in the blood. Blood isn't the life. It says the life is in the blood. Blood is the carrier of oxygen. Okay, there's three aspects: the body, the blood, and the breath, or the oxygen, the breath. You could say the life is the breath of God that the blood carries to the body. So I want you to think about that. The breath of God comes in, the blood takes it to the rest of the parts of the body. Just like the body is nothing without the blood is nothing without the breath. And in the same way, Jesus came in bodily form. He came the incarnate one, the God-man, the all-God, all-man in bodily form. The amazing teacher, the miracle worker, the King of the Jews, the lover of our souls, walked on this earth in bodily form, and he shed his blood on the cross. He died on the cross. But if he only shed his blood, if he was only a good teacher and didn't shed his blood, he's just another good teacher. But if he only was a good teacher and he only shed his blood and died on the cross and didn't rise from the dead, then he's just another guy who is an amazing person killed on a Roman cross. And that would be it. But it's not the whole story. Jesus came in bodily form. He shed his blood on the cross as payment for our sins, and the breath of God came into him again, and he rose from the dead, alive forevermore. He's alive. He's resurrected from the dead, and his resurrection is a big endorsement by God the Father that his blood saves, and his blood saves because he is the Son of God. Amen. Amen. All three come into play. The resurrection is the culmination of everything. It's of the culmination of Christmas. It's the culmination of Good Friday. It's the culmination of Resurrection Sunday. That's what we celebrate. It means he is the Son of God. You can trust him, and he has given us the right to become children of God. His blood was enough to save and forgive. It does wash us of all of our sins. It's not our good works, our good deeds that washes us of sin. It's not our good works that make us right with God. It's the blood of Jesus that was finished, that he did. He paid for it, and he was endorsed by God the Father by being raised from the dead forevermore to live and never die again. And that is hallelujah. Can I get amen? Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. So let's close in prayer. Father, just thank you, God. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that Jesus, you are the living one. You are the amazing miracle worker. You are the Son of God. You are the incarnate one, the God-man that came to earth to live in our skin, to be living in our world, and to give your life as a sacrifice for us. And thank you for shedding your blood as the Lamb of God who takes our sins away. And Father, we just believe it. We believe that you finished the work and that you rose from the dead, conquering the greatest enemy that we have is death. And you have led the way by being risen from the dead, that we have the promise of resurrection life as well. Lord, thank you. God, thank you for doing it. And we just pray that you would shine through us in this time, God. Thank you for keeping us safe, keeping us healthy. Lord, I just continue to pray for your blessing on our whole congregation and an end to this virus, excuse me, and an end to this this whole thing that's across our nation and the nations of the world. Lord, thank you for your power, and to pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. We just pray, bless this week. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. I miss you. I hope to see you this afternoon at the church parking lot at 4 o'clock. All right. See you later.